If you were sitting in the pew next to me and we were listening to the sermon, and I have a question, writing my question down and asking you after the service is probably better than during the sermon, because I want you to get as much of the teaching as possible, so that you're as equipped as possible to answer me later.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good.
And then I've been reading a book that I'm not quite ready to share about yet because I want to get through it before I don't know. Anyway, I'm keeping it to myself. So there. And in it, however, the author says something about submitting that I really appreciated, because for me, it had been a place of question. And that is, she says that we are to submit to our husbands, not somebody else's husband. And then she uses some examples that kind of made me think. She says, like, if you have a question as a woman and you don't talk it over with your husband first, say it's a question that you've been mulling over in your head for a while, and instead of going first to your husband to find out what his answer is, you go to like your friend's husband, you're running the risk of the counsel that this other husband gives clashing or colliding with the husband you're supposed to submit to, like whatever he would give. And so that then causes you to be more discontent with your own husband or head. So as we ask questions or have questions, it's kind of this chain of authority that God has given to us. You know, go to your husband first and then go to the pastor. Or she did point out, like, ask. Would you be okay if I asked the pastor or asked so-and-so's husband or whatever this question? And if your husband gives you the blessing to do so, then you're fine.
You really see the failure of men in this, because, like, you're right. Like, it'd be amazing if, generally speaking, a woman has a question at church. She asks her husband, his first thought is, I don't know, I'm going to go ask the pastor, because he just cares. But instead it's like, oh, no, I don't know, you go ask, I don't want to do it. That's the failure. That's the real problem. Not that the women talk too much. Ladies, there's some liberties that have been taken in the last 50 years. You might want to just not take all of them. But the failure is on the men who don't care enough to actually be the head, who just have abdicated their role as teacher in the family. Because ideally, he'd be like, I'm not sure, I'll go ask the pastor, because he knows he needs to know. Or he's like, oh, here's the answer. Yeah, I was just studying that last week. Yeah. The idea that you are not called to submit to every man anywhere, ever, just because you're a woman and he's a man, is right. That doesn't mean that you are not to recognize the orders that are there publicly. So, the elders of the congregation, generally at our church, are leading men of the congregation. And if one were to come and say to you, I know, hey, we normally don't do that here. Like, yeah, it would be your role to be like, oh, he's speaking for the people. He's speaking as a representative of all of us here. He's more than just somebody else's husband. Somebody else's husband is coming up and saying, like, we don't like that when you do that here. Like, well, who are you? Who are you? You're some guy, right? And now I want to respect you as a man. I don't want to like act as if we're the same. Now that's even more confusing now because of how mishmashed everything has gotten. But it doesn't mean you have to do what he says. It doesn't mean you have to like submit your heart to him just because he's a man. So I think that is an important distinction. I jumped in there. Do you want to keep going?
Yeah. Well, I had some other thoughts about like, if we recognize how influential we are over men, then that can help us to recognize when it's an okay time to speak and when it isn't. In general, our shape and our form is just a distraction. And so if it's a heated voters assembly, like, let's just stay quiet and not draw attention away from the topic and just allow the men to do what they need to do so that it can get resolved. You know, I mean,
men by nature, I mean, there's some who don't, but by nature, we feel bad beating up on women. Like, we just don't want to do it. And so if a woman tries to fight with us, we'll back down publicly because we're like, well, it would just be like really unchivalrous to like just embarrass her right now. But then the problem is the women have taken a great deal of license recently. And so they're just out there actually embarrassing themselves, and no one pulls the leash anywhere. The men are the most afraid of all. Happy wife, happy life, they say. Is it true? Not in all ways that that's understood. And so, when you have a voters' assembly going on and the lady stands up, the men are not generally going to confront her, even if they very firmly believe that what she said is completely wrong, because they don't want to embarrass her. And this is, in fact, a good thing that they care about her feelings, right? But that's where if you need to have a harsh discussion, we need to get the feelings out of the harsh discussion and really deal with it. I had another thought, but I lost it.
So, in general, it's not that we can't make noise in church or we can't join in the singing, like you said. It's more just being aware of what we're saying and when we're saying it, and a position of leadership in the service is not appropriate. Like reading the scripture or being to recognize when you, even as a mother with your children in the pew next to your husband, if you're constantly asking him to pass the Cheerios, or if you're trying to debate a discipline of the child in the middle of the service, like, that's taking his learning time away from him. So to just be aware of his need to learn so that he can then teach you. That's, I guess, what I'm...
Well, the desire that you would see him as one who's supposed to teach you, right? Just to... And yeah, that's kind of at the heart of that. I remember the other thing was that I kind of learned this experientially and vividly at seminary, where we had a group of guys that got together every Thursday. Started our first year. We did this all the way through. We got together every Thursday from 9 to midnight. And we had a couple beers and we talked about what we were learning. And it was one of the more influential, informative things that we did. It's like what the Hebron Collegium will be, indeed. So sometime in the second year, one of them said, there's these two deaconess students. I'd like to bring them. And we all were like, all right, whatever, yeah, no problem. And it was the worst night we'd ever had, because none of us could talk. Everything was about what they said and making them feel welcome. And we all talked about it afterwards and we're like, they can't come again. And the guy who told, they were so mad. Those girls were so mad. But it was like they'd stolen our brother, like literally stolen our brotherhood. And it wasn't that like they're evil. It's just that girls can't be brothers. And again, it was visceral. Like, and part of it was like, we couldn't disagree with them in the conversation, because if we did, then they'd start to get a little fussy and heated about it. And we're like, but that's all we do here, is we come and we disagree with each other. Like, can a woman learn that? Yes, she could. I think you could learn to just kind of get along with it. But the point is, that's not natural, right? And what we're dealing with in these texts particularly is upholding nature, because nature is good. Yeah. So you got more you want to say on this one? All right, we're going to move on.